Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2503, with the release date of Friday, October 17th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The IARU shines a spotlight on hams with disabilities. More license changes for amateurs in the UK. And a Halloween event that might just scare the life back into your radio. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2503 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin this week with an important call to action from the IARU. Amateur radio is for everyone, as we know, but not everyone has the same access to what they need to succeed. Some operators or those who wish to get their license have disabilities that can get in their way. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about an effort to shine the spotlight on this situation and the need for change.
One of the greatest challenges of amateur radio ought to be getting a rare DX, logging an all-time new one, or mastering a new skill or operating mode. It should not be the act of trying to get on the air itself. To ensure that radio amateurs with disabilities have the same chance at all the other challenges and adventures, the Programme for Disabled Radio Amateurs in IARU Region 1 is encouraging a celebration on and off the air to reflect ham radio's welcoming spirit. This event will take place on the 3rd of December, which the United Nations has declared to be the International Day of Persons with Disabilities. In an announcement about the programme, its coordinator, Riri Azraq, OD5RI, encourages ham radio societies to plan awareness events, NETs, or special events using a special call sign incorporating the letters PDRA. Hams are also being urged to identify and support disabled radio operators or other persons with disabilities who are seeking their license. He wrote, quote, "Together we can demonstrate that amateur radio truly belongs to everyone, regardless of physical or sensory ability," end quote. For details, see the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
There was liftoff at last in Florida as a much-delayed rocket carried the latest installment of satellites into space for Project Kuiper. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, has that update.
Amazon's Project Kuiper satellites finally made it into space aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket after more than a week of weather-related delays. The rocket departed Florida's Cape Canaveral Space Force Station on Monday, the 13th of October, at 9:58 p.m. local time. The 24 broadband internet satellites are part of a planned constellation considered to be a rival service to Starlink, which already has had more than 90 missions this year to bring its satellites into space. Monday's Kuiper project launch brings that constellation's total to 153 such satellites in space. Ultimately, 3,236 are expected to be deployed at three altitudes of low Earth orbit: 590 kilometers, 610 kilometers, and 630 kilometers. Meanwhile, China has been building its own counterpart projects, which translate into English as the National Network and the Thousand Sails. Both of these planned networks are expected to contain about 13,000 satellites apiece. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
We all know how precious copper can be in our antennas and elsewhere in our shacks. Our broadcast colleagues know it too, and have suffered in recent years from vandalism and theft involving copper, and it has taken them off the air. One FCC commissioner recently called publicly for a tougher response, as we hear from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
There is a growing epidemic of attacks on communication sites, and the response needs to include sharper federal penalties and more sophisticated preventative action from the industry, according to the latest commissioner to join the FCC. Olivia Trusty, who was confirmed to the agency in June, called on telecom companies and broadcasters to fortify their sites with tamper-proof housings, cameras, and alarms, and said the government must likewise step up to penalties for theft and vandalism. She made her remarks in a video presentation this month at the Telecom Industry Incident Management and Prosecutorial Collaboration Summit in California. The past 2 years have seen a number of high-profile copper thefts in the United States, disabling internet and television services and knocking broadcast stations off the air. For some radio stations, the result was tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage. Trustee noted that in some instances, the 911 emergency service was disrupted by similar attacks on telecom sites, with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security calling communication systems a top infrastructure sector. A bipartisan measure has been introduced in Congress to address these concerns. It is known as the Stopping the Theft and Destruction of Broadband Act of 2025 and was introduced by a Democrat and a Republican lawmaker with support from the industry. This is Kent Peterson, KC0, DGY.
Newsline sends its condolences to the ARRL and the family of Ed Hare, W1RFI, who had a long tenure as an engineer in the league's lab. Ed became a silent key on the 10th of October after a long illness, according to the ARRL's website. A specialist in radio frequency interference and product testing, Ed had retired in 2023 but was still volunteering his time in the lab at the time of his death. His career had many milestones, including the ARRL's RFI program, which helps hams resolve interference issues. A devoted and proficient CW operator, Ed was 75. Rest in peace, Ed. There are more changes for ham radio operators in the UK, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Ofcom has moved ahead with phases 2 and 3 of changes announced earlier that affect amateur radio licensees. These actions followed those made in phase 1 in February 2024, which adjusted power limits and expanded operating freedoms. This month, hams with intermediate call signs have the option to replace their number 2 series call prefixes with an M8 or M9, and can either retain or replace their existing suffix. These are voluntary changes at the moment, but in 5 years, the regulator will change all remaining calls. The regulator is also limiting license holders to a single personal call sign and will be revoking all but the one chosen to be retained. Hams are also getting the option to change their call signs every 5 years. Other changes, including those affecting special event stations, can be found by following the link in the text version of this week's newscast script at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
A beloved historic transmitter in Sweden is once again being prepped to send an important message. In this case, a message of peace. Cell MBKB3TZD tells us why.
The world will be listening on Friday, the 24th of October, for a message of peace to be transmitted from a radio station that secured its place in history more than a century ago. The Grimaton radio station in Sweden, a World Heritage Site, will deliver a message to the world on the occasion of United Nations Day, a day set aside for promoting global unity, one of the goals for which the UN was founded 8 decades ago. The message will go out on the VLF frequency 17.2 kHz from the Alexanderson alternator that dates to 1924. As always, the mode will be CW. Where possible, listeners will tune their receivers, their SDRs, or navigate to YouTube. Ham radio operators, of course, will be able to mark the occasion by doing some transmitting of their own on the HF frequencies. Amateur radio station SK6SAQ will be on the air on 80, 40, and 20 meters, both CW and SSB for those who wish to make contact. For a schedule of the transmissions and information about the ham radio station, visit the link that appears in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. This is Cell MB, KB3TZD.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the J88CU 2-meter repeater in St. Vincent and the Grenadines on Fridays at 6:30 p.m. local time. When it comes to ensuring public safety, obsolete radio equipment is a liability for hams whose priority is emergency preparedness. Thanks to a grant to help them pay for an overdue refresh, one club in Idaho expects to be better prepared from now on. George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU, has those details.
A grant from Amateur Radio Digital Communications has brought good news for 7 fire stations in Boundary County and an underperforming antenna in the North Idaho Repeater Group. The $9,394 in funding will help Boundary Amateur Radio Club W7BFI install new radios and power supplies at the fire stations and replace the antenna on Black Mountain, all part of a necessary upgrade of obsolete equipment. Club board member Dan Parent, K7ZFR, told the Bonners Ferry Herald that the radios were already 15 years old when the club received them as a donation from the railway 15 years ago. He said, quote, "They can't be programmed. One of them doesn't work, but those radios were deployed at each of the 7 main fire stations." He told the paper that the club can also install a better antenna at Boundary County Hospital, shoring up a necessary connection between radio operators and the hospital in an emergency. This is George Zafiropoulos, KJ6VU.
Just 3 years old, Minnesota's North Star Radio Convention is growing in prominence, size, and importance, as Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us.
The 11th of October was a busy day on the Hennepin Technical College campus in Brooklyn Park, where an attendance of more than 250 set a new record for the North Star Radio Convention in its third year, putting the convention more prominently on the state ham radio map. Program manager Dale Henninger, W0DHZ, told Newsline, quote, "The convention has successfully revived the tradition of a statewide amateur radio convention in Minnesota, something the community has been without for more than 2 decades, end quote. This was also the 2025 ARRL Minnesota State Convention, organized with the support of 11 local ham clubs, whose members provided volunteers and financial sponsorship through the Minnesota Amateur Radio Consortium. The agenda included a transmitter hunt, a QRP QSO party, a get on the air station, and 25 educational sessions covering a range of topics. Dale said the convention is one way in which groups work together to, quote, strengthen Minnesota's amateur radio community and inspire the next generation of operators, end quote. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
If you like hunting grid squares and want something different, you may want to try getting your feet wet, in a manner of speaking, by chasing these stations activating so-called wet squares. Here's those details from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Operational plans are underway to activate around the Maldives, but don't expect to log any contacts from islands on the air locations. The grid squares for 8Q7OS are being activated as wet squares during an ocean diving safari led by Sergey R9OOF with Maria UB9OGC and Dimitri UB9OFY. Listen for the call signs 8Q7OS/MM, 8Q7DD/MM and 8Q7MD/MM from the 26th of October through to the 2nd of November. They will be on the air using SSB on 20, 17, 15 and 10 metres. During this not uncommon way to combine boating adventure with amateur radio, the hams won't just be fishing for QSOs, but diving for recreation from a chartered yacht. So if the Maldives Archipelago is on your list of all-time new ones, Sergey writes on his page on QRZ.com that you're bound to be disappointed. He wrote, quote, "I am not on the air from any islands," end quote. This is Jim Meachin. ZL2BHF.
Young amateurs from Bangladesh are preparing for the trip of a lifetime at a UNESCO World Heritage Site. For some, it will be their first major de-expedition. Here's Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Organisers from the Amateur Radio Club of Khulna are calling the Sundarbans de-expedition a milestone event that will combine the talents of newly licensed ham radio operators from Bangladesh under the coordination of SHUVO, Sierra 2-1, Charlie Mike Delta.
Operating from what is considered the world's largest mangrove forest, the youthful team of as many as 20 will be putting the call sign Sierra 21 Sierra Delta X-ray on the air from the 13th to the 15th of November. Shuvo said in an email, quote, Bangladesh's few young amateur radio operators are not only connecting voices across continents, but also carrying the spirit of nature in every transmission, whether calling CQ or sharing stories over HF, end quote. They'll be operating on most of the HF bands using SSB and FT8. The activation in the West Forest Division of the Kalma Range will be a POTR activation as much as a de-expedition. The Sundarbans is a UNESCO World Heritage Site and a sanctuary for the Bengal tiger. Shuvo said, quote, Our target is to test and prove the potential of young amateur radio operators of Bangladesh and to spotlight the beauty, biodiversity and cultural richness of the Sundarbans to the world through the universal language of radio. End quote. This is Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
For our final story this week, we encourage you to turn your lights out in the spirit of the Halloween season. Get ready for something special from Jim Davis, W2JKD.
Popular operating events, like zombies, never seem to die. But what happens when one long-running popular operating event is, in fact, full of zombies? It's an event that rises from its eternal slumber for one day every year in the hopes that the bands may not be dead. Welcome to the Zombie Shuffle, which is marking its 28th year of bringing CW operators back to life by inviting them into the slow lane of QRS while operating QRP. You'll find the QRP zombies in their usual HF haunts on the 24th of October, one week before Halloween. They'll be on the air from 1500 local time to local midnight anywhere in North and South American time zones. This is considered a contest, so no one stands a ghost of a chance grabbing a contact on 60, 30, 17, or 12. By the way, the organizers want you to know that there's no point to this event except, as they say on their website, and I quote, to get on the air and have some goofy fun with fellow zombies and QRPers, unquote. In other words, this is just a little exercise. Exercise in radio fun. To learn more or to register for your official zombie number, visit the event website at the link in this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. The zombies are coming. You could be one of them. Be not afraid. I'm Jim Davis, W2JKD.
If you haven't sent in your ham radio haiku yet, what's been stopping you? Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite online activity, we'll help you use the correct number of syllables to make an authentic haiku. Submit your work and then sit back and wait to hear whether you're the winner of this week's challenge. The winner gets a shout-out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, AMSAT News Service, Bonner's Ferry Herald, David Behar, K7DB, Dale Henninger, W0DHZ, DX News, 425 DX Bulletin, FCC, Grimeton Radio Station, IARU Region 1, Ofcom, QRZ.com, Radio World, Shuvo, S21CMD, Shortwave Radio.de, Spaceflight Now, Space.com, Wireless Institute of Australia, YouTube, Zombie Shuffle website, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights reserved.